Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic, episode number 20. I love the big round numbers, and this is a big one because we're halfway through the season, and I couldn't imagine having a more perfect guest than tonight's guest, who is a frequent visitor to the show. She is the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented, the spiritual advisor, Miss Grace, also happens to be extremely in tuned with the psychic world. And I am so honored to have you. Grace, how are you doing?
Hey, hi everyone. I'm doing great. We have a beautiful setting right now. There's nature behind us. If you hear birds chirping, just know that we're in nature because it actually helps fuel me and fuel my messages.
I love that. And yes, you will hear birds, you may hear a car, you may hear some couples fighting behind us. That's because we're way up in an apartment building and we're having those lovely apartment sounds kicking in for episode 20.
That's right. Keeping it real.
Now, I do have an announcement to make. You heard me talk about this 2 weeks ago about the Point Pleasant trip that we were supposed to take. It has been postponed until the fall due to, listen, Grace is extremely busy. She's got a lot of clients. And no, it is not your fault. We're just saying it's going to be postponed until the fall. And then we are going to do some Mothman hunting.
I decided to just add on and add on and add on and add on to my schedule. And it actually got to the point where I was like, how am I physically supposed to do all of this? So, you know, that's me, hashtag Virgo. But it just makes sense for us to try the fall instead. But I think it's spookier and kind of a cool time for us to go.
Oh, I do too. You know, and it is also, you know, the fall, October is my birthday month. Yes. So I will be very excited to go in the fall. And you know what? I couldn't let this topic pass without asking you one question along the cryptozoological path. So I think I've asked you this before, but just based on your initial impression, what is or was the Mothman phenomenon?
I'm getting that he's an interdimensional being. And, you know, I think when we're talking about interdimensional beings, I'm a little bit black and white about that experience. But I'm hearing he's a watcher.
And that's, you know, interesting because interdimensional is always the route that I've gone down with that. I know some people have tied it into alien UFOs, but I think it's something else. And I'm also curious what your thoughts are, you know, with the bridge collapse. Did the Mothman cause it or was it a warning?
Well, and this is kind of my same position on a lot of alien experiences. You know, my grandpa used to say that there's nothing new under the... No, he would say there's nothing new under the sun. And I still believe that. And so if we have aliens or interdimensional beings that are causing havoc in one area, I think we have to be really cautious about, you know, putting them in on pedestal and saying, oh, well, they also potentially did this good thing. It's like, yeah, but they stuck a probe up your ass. So, you know, just whoa, right?
Right.
So I am cautious about it. And, you know, I know that he didn't violently attack anyone, but there was he scared a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, as recently as I think it was about 8 years ago, people went to those old military silos. They started provoking, using provocation. And because they went that particular route, they started having the phenomenon, which was very similar to what was happening in the 60s, in their home. Now, it eventually dissipated, but because I think they were approaching it from a very, you know, combative standpoint, they got that in return.
And doesn't that remind you of ghosts or other spirits that we've dealt with, including, you know, those demonic spirits?
Yes.
And I don't, you know, I'm very open spiritually, but it's so funny. Like the people that I surround myself with, we do believe in energy. We do believe in enlightenment and ascension and all of that being very good for the world. But we also all almost consistently do believe in good and evil. And I think that framework is very interesting when you're looking at interdimensional beings.
I love that. And just so everyone's aware, Mothman, we're coming in the fall. So we're going to have a little live show from Point Pleasant. We're going to be exploring those very silos we just talked about. And we will be talking to the townspeople and going to that very bridge where that phenomenon happened. So I'm very excited. And I couldn't think of a better person to have with me than Miss Grace.
Yay! And I feel very protected because I have you and I have fiance Ian. And just so you know, I know a lot of you haven't ever seen Brian in person, but he's tall, very handsome, by the way.
I didn't pay her to say that, I swear.
I definitely, you know, all 5'4" by four of me feels protected by their presence, and you know, so I think I'll feel comfortable with a little bit of provocation.
Well, you know what? No one is going to be messing with Grace, so don't you worry about it. I got you covered, and so does Ian. So no one is messing with Gracie.
Yeah. He'll shoot him. He's in law enforcement, so
yes, he'll Ian shoot will.
Man,
I'll shoot him with holy water, and maybe Ian will shoot him with an actual 38.
Yeah, and I hope Brian and I, we have gone and done clearings in houses, I really do think it, you know, was a combination of using my psychic abilities, my intuition, but you and the prayer life, and at the end of the day, it was about removing negativity. So it'll be interesting when we are around Mothman to really get the sense of, like, what is his energy? You know, is it something intellectual? Is it something just deep and dark and scary? I feel like I'm hearing the sound of, like, nails, like really big nails. Like a dinosaur is too big, but like a really big bird, bigger than the biggest bird that you can imagine, like scratching against wood.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the description as a lot of people who have encountered this thing, the same thing. It was almost like, I'm not going to say Freddy Krueger, but it's that type of sound because you have these giant claws and the thing had a 12-foot wingspan. So the fact that you picked right up on that particular sound is very interesting because that has been used by people to describe their encounters with it.
Yeah, and I don't think we can, because again, I'm a psychic skeptic, and you know, which is why I say spiritual advisor, because I try to lend towards technique and skepticism and looking at things pragmatically. So I'm always like, could it have been a bird? They slapped a crazy hat on and it just flew after people. But it's like, no matter how many times I try to excuse it, I really don't have a solution for what the heck that thing was.
Yeah. And the fact that there were military silos around the area, something very eerie was going on.
Actually, it's so funny because right now in sort of like the spiritual circles that I move in, you think it's a hoax. You think it's a spiritual, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like just kind of that hippy dippy stuff of like people who are too into paranormal and into conspiracy theories, which is me. but you know, there's, you know, if you have any understanding of like the Book of Enoch and the fact that we go all the way back in time and we see these accounts of these fallen creatures that fell from heaven, and you see, it's just so interesting how these fallen creatures and the Book of Enoch lines up exactly with ancient Sumerian texts. And they all give the same account. They all are talking about the same thing. And then, you know, what these groups are saying is that one day they're going to utilize the actual concept of fallen angels and, you know, basically to push the agenda of the New World Order. This is what they're saying. They're going to fake an alien invasion and it's going to be like, you know, this whole thing. So I am interested in like, will that happen one day? And, you know, will someone take this, you know, these theories or these experiences and actually use it toward their benefit? Because technically they could, you know, and I just find it very interesting that whenever like Roswell or alien sightings, like the government is so involved with it to the point that we can now prove, you know, that they have hidden footage and kept it out of sight. And now these things are slowly being, you know, given to the public. But why now? You know, right. What are they preparing us for?
Well, I think there's no question there is somewhat of a demonic agenda happening in our society right now. I've seen it. I've seen evidence of it. And I've felt it. I am curious on this topic, sure. though, about governments and, of course, hiding specific locations. I get so many emails about Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd love your specific thoughts on what you feel when I say that. When I say Antarctica, what is going on? Why can't people travel there freely?
So it is an interesting situation, like how our society is set up right now, because, and I'm just giving a general context, we can't right now agree on basic principles and concepts. We can't agree if the world is flat or round any longer. We can't agree if 1 + 1 = 2, you know? So it's kind of like we're in this age of my truth, not the objective truth. And what's dangerous about that, I mean, there's positives and negatives, but one of the, you know, negatives and one of the dangers about it is that, you know, we're only going to believe what we have proof of. You know, there can be conspiracy theories, but at the end of the day, we can only believe what we're given. So immediately I'm thinking, well, there's safety concerns, right? That's one of the obvious reasons why not everyone can travel to Antarctica. But I fully know that there is a whole underground chamber that it is in existence there. And I think that there's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of information that doesn't want to be put out there. And all I have to say is the conspiracy theorists always end up right in the end, don't they? Like, that's the scary part. And some of it's bullshit. Like, I'll definitely say, I see some hoaxy stuff out there all the time. And I'm like, oh, come on, now we're just being corny. But this one, I can confirm there are areas of Antarctica where they have scientists who are studying and doing all of this, and yet they are not allowed to go to other parts of Antarctica. There's like, it's fully shut down, and it's a pretty large area. It's not like, you know, it's not like a tiny little town. It is a large landscape.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And it's just fascinating because I don't know if we'll ever know fully what they're doing there, what will be revealed to us, but I know it's something not for our benefit. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that there's an agenda behind it, which is why it's being blocked off from us. And I think that's happening all over the world, really. I just read the other day that Russia stopped very abruptly. They were trying to dig to the center of the earth. They just stopped. They all agreed, like, we got to stop now. It just makes you wonder, what are they seeing, experiencing, feeling that just makes them go, you know what, we better knock this off. Similar to why we haven't been back to the moon, which I'm very fascinated by because I know we were basically told not to go there. Mm-hmm. And I'll just leave it at that. But not to go down that rabbit hole. I've asked you about that before.
And when you say that when we were at the moon, do you think we were ever really
at
the moon?
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I'm going to rephrase that question. When we were presented by the media to have gone to the moon, mm-hmm. I think we knew full well that we were not supposed to go there. We were warned not to go there. And I do believe through a lot of reading and watching that that was staged, unfortunately.
Right. Understandably.
Yes. And you know, it's funny. A lot of people believe that. Mm-hmm. It's not this far-fetched notion anymore. A lot of people are like, oh, yeah. Right. No, we didn't go there. Did you see that footage? It looked like a shitty soundstage.
Yeah. And it's like the awareness and the consciousness has shifted so dramatically.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think we're still all in like a post-apocalyptic COVID era. where there was a part of us on the inside that was deeply affected by what was happening and really became even more curious of, like, what's really going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you.
And if anyone hears this shuffling, it's just me. I have some cards, you know, just in case Brian asked me questions. I don't need cards, but I just particularly like these little, you know, Native American cards. So if you hear that noise, that's what that is.
Yes. And shout out to the Native American people who, yes, I love. Very mystical. I will have specific questions for you.
Awesome.
Just one more, though, on a little more of a, I don't know, a paranormal tabloidy type,
sure,
road. I get asked this a lot, too, about our buddy down the road, Anita, mm-hmm, the Portal of Doom House. And we both love Anita. She couldn't be more kind, open, and friendly. But Grace is admittedly frightened of that house. And we've been in there multiple times. And I think the last time we were there, you were very affected.
Yeah.
And Anita, for those of you who don't remember, was scratched right in front of us as she was talking and sort of, I don't know what you would call it, kind of calling the spirits out a little bit in, yeah, her house. What energies do you get when I mention that house? Like, what comes to you first? Because there's so much going on there. Mm-hmm. I can't quite pin it down to one thing, but what I should ask you more specifically is, what keeps you from feeling invited into that house?
Well, she invites me in,
yeah,
but it's the same experience of if you're a human being and if you have ever felt like this life is just rough, right? Like, the sensitives usually feel that. That's because it is, and that's because we're not hardwired for it. And I could talk about that, and I could talk about how the brain works. If you guys didn't know, I'm studying traumatology. I'm getting my master's in it. And it's such, to me, like, biblical evidence that we were made for a different dimension. And this world is like, what the hell? Like, we just weren't mentally put together for it. And so when you walk into that house, there's that experience turned all the way up, turn the volume all the way up. And it's like, you know, for anyone that has anxiety or panic, it's that. It's you're sensing something that's invisible. There's not a lion chasing you, but you can feel the lion is nearby. And you're just, you know, your body is flooding you with these chemicals saying, hey, we got to get the hell out of here. And you're looking around and saying, there is no external threat, but you're sensing something that is in existence that is specifically targeting you. And I remember when we were sitting there at the table talking about this, I had the experience, which now that I think about it, I didn't even think about it at the time how jarring this is, but of someone grabbing me and pulling me all the way up to the ceiling and then dropping me back in my body. I
wow.
mean,
that's intense.
Like, that's a little, yeah, now that I think about it, I'm like, okay, that really doesn't feel safe. But, you know, it kind of is one of those things where, you know, do you run away from it, which is usually my tendency, or is it like, I'm a chicken, guys. Brian's like, no, let me stay there and just, like, you know, fight with them until they possess me. I'm like, no, 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 not on my watch. But it, yeah.
I'm a bit of a taunter sometimes, yes.
Oh, he loves it because he gets the thrill of it, you know? He gets the adrenaline rush, whereas me, I just get, like, a panic attack. So it's a very different experience.
Yeah, but you know what? In your defense, I don't approach it as a psychic because I'm not. Mm-hmm. I think I have intuition. I think it gets stronger with more investigations we do. But you go in there with full awareness and seeing and feeling and hearing, whereas I don't. So I can be a little more like, you know, I can do more provocation because I'm not experiencing what you're experiencing. And maybe if I did, I wouldn't. So I understand where you're coming from and why you don't feel welcome and not necessarily want to go back to certain locations.
Yeah.
I do have a specific for you. In the investigations that we've done, or maybe some that we haven't done,
yeah,
Have I experienced an attachment that I wasn't aware of? Yeah. Was there something that...
Oh, yeah, you definitely. So we did this documentary, which I'm sure Brian has talked about, The Witch of Hinsdale. I have to say, like, the funniest moment for me... Well, it's funny in hindsight. It wasn't. If you guys didn't know, like, for days afterwards, I would make... Because Brian and I, like, lived together in New York City. I would make him stay in my room at night because I was so afraid to go to sleep by myself. So, again, I'm a chicken. I don't care. But that's because I'm seeing and hearing these things. You know, it's very overwhelming. But Brian was Mr. Provocation, just, like, yelling at the spirits. And we had a cameraman, and he worked at ESPN, had absolutely no, like, what is all of this? Had no idea. He was like, what are those things? Oh, they're, you know, rods. What's that? What do you do? You know, he was just totally a newcomer to all of this. And at one moment, as we're totally stoned, because that's kind of the experience when you're, like, deep in a spiritual realm, it's like the world around you gets real foggy. You remember that, right? Where you just felt that mental fogginess. He just starts talking out of freaking nowhere of like, well, you know, the lady, and I'm looking at him like, and we're sitting there and it's like the house is already cold, but we're in a particularly like cold spot, meaning a spirit is with us. And he's like, yeah, the lady, the witch, she just like keeps, you know, showing me like these images. And we're looking at him, this guy who has no experience in the paranormal is telling us about all of these conversations that he's having with a woman who is not in the room with us. And we're like, what the hell? But
that was our trusted cameraman, Mike.
Yeah. And he was just like totally new to all of this, though, when something physical does happen or did happen multiple times, he was like, what the hell? But Brian was Mr. Provocation, and he started getting really hostile. And I know Brian, he is not hostile. He's my brother, okay? He is not a hostile person whatsoever. He's actually like the peacemaker in almost every situation. And he was like snapping at me and stuff. And I couldn't even take it seriously because I'm like, who are you? You're not Brian. Thankfully, it did hopefully completely leave him. But he was then sick for days afterwards too. Right? Yeah, remember sure you were, was. He, on our ride home from like Buffalo, New York to back to New York City, he was crouched over in the back seat and was just sick to his stomach. And it just, it is a very exhausting experience. I think like anything, you have to be a very particular personality to want that type of experience. For me, it's exhausting. It's scary. It's overwhelming. But for you, it's kind of thrilling.
It is. It's a total adrenaline rush. I fully admit that. But I also do admit to being affected for sure by that house. I can still close my eyes and I have a picture perfect memory of what it looks like. And I can't even remember what I had for lunch last week, but I can remember that house and almost every detail of it. So there's definitely something there. There's definitely something that draws certain people, including me, to the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cat in the corner's sniffing my sneaker like it's going out of style. What's going on there, Darby? But shout out to Darby the cat. And
he just turned one.
That's right,
just turned one.
And the lovely Xena, who's eating in the next room. Speaking of animals, this is a question I had, and I'm glad you have the Native American cards in your hand.
Animal cards.
I would love to know what my totem is. What is my spirit animal?
Well, let's go by the cards. Let's see.
She's shuffling the cards as we speak, which, again, she doesn't need, but she uses for extra effect.
Okay, so this is telling me a little bit more about your personality, but I would say if you had a totem, it would be the crow and the dog.
Whoa, that is spooky because... Why? I have a very strong connection with crows, particularly lately. I go out every single morning and I feed the crows both in the morning and at night. And I know it sounds weird, but they call for me. They see me and they start cawing because they know, oh, this guy this is guys is he's supplying me with the food, but then they just look at me and they stare at me, and it's like, I don't know how to describe it, but there's like a, you know, it's almost like they're nodding their head like, hey buddy, how are you? And I feel very connected with the crows. So it's very interesting that you said that.
And I know that you wouldn't necessarily say a dog, but I say that because of your very intense protection and loyalty that you have towards those that you love and even people in general.
I love that. And being that we're on the subject of animals, what is your spirit animal?
So these cards would say the swan.
Okay.
And I've had, I remember once I went to this, you know, it's funny. It reminds me of astrology, which, you know, I'm not super, super like, you know, I don't always bring that up, but I always think like, for instance, you're a Libra and that's the balancing scales. And you would think that that's all about, oh, you know, you must be really imbalanced. You know, you must have mastered that. No, it means your lifetime will be focused on finding your balance.
I love that.
And so me as a Virgo, mine is really like, it's the Virgin, right? And I like to think of Virgin Mary, and she's Our Lady of Grace. And I'm really good at giving other people grace. I am not good at giving myself grace. So, you know, the animal that is represented by grace in these cards in particular is the swan. But I think a lot of people have referred to me as like a deer before. I don't know. It's kind
of, you're such a deer.
I don't know. Maybe you have an idea of what type of animal I would be.
You're kind of a cross between a lion, a cheetah, and a gentle gazelle. You have it all going on at one time.
Well, I think you're one of the people I feel safe with, so that part of me comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, you know, Ian would probably be like, oh, you're this gentle little, you know. I'm like, oh, little do you know. Yeah.
I love that. What's something that I need to look out for in the remainder of 2023?
So I feel like you really grew spiritually and had a really good focus, but you need to continue conceptualizing that is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
I don't need the cards. The cards don't, you know, when I do readings, it just kind of flows. So it's important that you continue to conceptualize your growth, your faith into physical action and physical manifestation. And I think that you're finding that, you know, you and I came together, our relationship, you know, Ian was just asking me about this the other day, like, how the hell did you guys come together? And the simple answer is God.
Yeah.
My grandpa was dying and Brian was like, you know, we already had like a friendship, but he was like, you're my sister. And so as much as he always likes to say, I'm not intuitive, I have gotten readings for him. And multiple readers and astrologers have suggested to him that he's even more psychic than I am. So, which is a huge blow to my ego.
Like, I don't know about the truthfulness behind it, but...
yeah, and exactly that, you know? And just one last thing that I want to say, I think you're aware of this very much so, but I now want you to conceptualize it. We are not what we do. We are who we are. So, you know, I think sometimes, especially in our society, it's easy for us to attach ourselves like, oh, so, you know, tell me about yourself. Oh, well, I work at this, or, you know, we're so attached. Our identity is so, you know, ingrained in our careers, but that's just what we do. You know, like that's such a silly kind of thing that's the service that we give the world. But no, who are you?
I love that. Listen, everybody, we are not what we do. We are who we are. I love that.
And I'm so guilty of that. I'm like, you know, I literally have OCD. So I'm like, almost addicted to acting because I'm in the same position as you are with that. I think it's really cultural for us. But for you, I think you have a really strong sense of who you are, but are perhaps, I'm kind of like trying not to give too much away. You know, I don't know how much information you want me to say, but just trust and have faith that you can express yourself out in the world and there is enough space for you.
I love that. And I want to kind of turn this into something that, oh, go ahead.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You can ask me anything you want.
So guys, I'm really like, so I am getting my master's in traumatology and I'm also going through intense training through this thing called rapid resolution therapy, which is really great for PTSD. But So let me use my analytical Virgo skills a little bit here. So when you were a kid, was there like a hero or someone outside of your family that you really looked up to?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm sure there's probably more prominent names that will jump out, but I know it sounds funny, but I found a lot of my heroes through watching television and old movies. So like my heroes were definitely like off the beaten path, you know, like people like, you know, Abbott and Costello. Like I would watch these old movies and they're going monster hunting and they're going and they're in these funny situations, but yet like I idolized these people. Like I watched like, you know, wide-eyed with my mouth open. So I know it sounds funny, but just like watching TV and movies, I really like threw myself into it. So they became, which is why, like, if somebody comes on my show from a TV show that I used to watch as a kid, that to me is so much bigger than like someone who's been in all these blockbuster movies now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, because it resonates on a heartfelt level with me, you know? So people like that. There are a million other examples, but that's just like the first I could think of from an early perspective.
And if we can get in a car tomorrow
and
take Point Pleasant,
you
know, Virginia, Mothman out of the equation, if we can get in a car or a plane and go anywhere, where would you go?
Oh boy. Oh, you're just asking me some good questions now. Not that you never, you always ask me good questions. We could go anywhere. Oh my gosh. I don't want to kill too much time. I got to think about that for a minute. Well, how about you? Where would you go?
This is a part of it, you know, if it was just a car and it was like, you know, I'll make that easier.
Okay,
just a car. Yeah.
There's a couple places that come to mind.
Just one.
Oh,
the top one.
Wow. Top one?
Yeah.
In a car.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Just
go with one.
Yeah, it's hard to go with one.
Okay, go with two.
All right, let me give the honorable mention to Zach Bagans Haunted Museum in Las Vegas.
Right.
I really want to go there, but I'll say the Devil's Tower in Wyoming. I really want to see it.
Okay, so this is actually narrative therapy and a bit of Adler that's used for career counseling. And so what I can affirm, because they're talking about conceptualizing and using your gifts in a productive way, you know, that's what Spirit was focusing on. First of all, you mentioned Abbott and Costello, and you mentioned your youth, and when I think of youth, I think of fun and laughter and just having fun like you're a little kid. But that's how you described your experience. It's not what you described. What you described is Abbott and Costello funny, being funny, and going ghost hunting. And then I asked you if you can go anywhere in you know, tomorrow. That actually represents your future. So I think you're in the right I think we're doing the right thing here. I think this is definitely, because at the end of the day, you know, so many times, gosh, I could have saved myself so much energy and time here, but we are who we are and we've had our experiences for a reason. It gives us context so that we can utilize it for our passion and our purpose. You know, I was just given the gift of psychic abilities, but how I use that to help people has been based off of my own experiences. You know, yeah. What's hurt me? What change I want to see in the world? And for you, it's always been a mission and so important to, you know, bring back fun and adventure. Like you are, I saw like Scooby-Doo and what was it? Crypt Tales and stuff,
yeah,
you know,
like
bring the fun and the like, you know, the only scary things we should have to be focusing on is what monster is going to jump out from under the bed. And that's actually the world that I want to live in. It's innocent. It's wholesome. It's beautiful. And I think that you are really bringing so much comfort to people by really bringing that world back.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I am a giant Toys R Us kid. And I that's another area I love to regress and collect toys, as you already know. And to me, that is fun. I'm glad you used the word fun because that's how I try to live my life. I try. I love a quote. You've heard this quote before. Shout out to my man, Cody Rhodes. But he said, a person often finds their destiny on the path to avoid it. Mm-hmm. And I love that because I think some people get disappointed in themselves that they feel like what they're pursuing either isn't going to bring them enough money or isn't going to bring them social acceptance. And so they steer away from it or they think I can't do this because it doesn't fit in to this box that society has created. And I wonder what message you have out there for people right now in 2023, what they should be doing, like what they could be doing. I know that's a very general question because how do you answer that to the whole world? But I just wonder if there's a message that you could give to those people.
I would say do what makes you happy and what is best for the world. Like that is literally it. And as you know, what's best for you and what's best for the world. I got to tell you guys, I really feel like I should be a cake person. Like I should be making wedding cakes or I should be making floral arrangements or be an event planner. Like I'm a very creative person and I always felt like, you know, that's the road that I should go on. That stresses me out like unbelievably. And so God knows better and put me on a path that was like, you are just so much better at helping people. You know, you're just really so much better at it. And it doesn't stress me out. And I think there's a flow that you should look out for. If you're uncertain about the path that you should be on, if you're doing what you're meant to do, it should just feel like a flow. You know, it should, like, I could get on the phone with someone or be counseling someone, and I'm not anxious. I'm not worried. I am just open, and it's just flowing, and it feels good, and it feels easy, you know? So that's how our best vocation should be. And also know that, you know, in terms of vocations, we have different callings at different times. We shouldn't ever look at it as, like, a lifetime thing, because then, you know, we're really putting ourselves in a box that really limits us. But, you know, you may be a high power attorney and then you might be the next day called to, you know, to raise your kids and stay at home and homeschool them. And why is that not beautiful? That is a beautiful thing. If that is the best thing for you and the world, including your kids, then that is absolutely what you should do.
I completely agree. And some of us are late bloomers. Some people get calling later in life. And I love that you referenced God because we cannot do it without God.
And, you know, I get the whole idea of a late bloomer. My fiance would say that he is one. You know, he's, you know, and me too. You know, I'm, what, 33 and I'm getting my master's. I mean, usually that's something that people do in their early or in their mid-20s, you know, but I would consider myself a late bloomer and Ian would consider himself a late bloomer. But I think you were called to do the work of the past. You were called to do that. There was a reason, there was a purpose. And just today I was driving and, you know, I just let someone ahead, you know, oh, go ahead. And we kind of dismiss acts of kindness as minute as they are. But if you're showing up for a job and you're making people smile and you're changing their day, or you're contributing positively to the world in some way, then that's not for nothing. That is still a huge impact on the world. Because if we don't have that, as you can see, because everyone kind of lost their shit in 2020 and like became a little bit more volatile and, you know, aggressive with one another, things can collapse really easy if we take that perspective. So it's so important for us to first take care of ourselves, and then whatever we're being called to do at a particular time, to do it as a representation of God or whatever it is that you believe in, whatever your ideals are, a higher power. You know, for some people, their higher power is truth, beauty, love, and justice. Represent that wherever you go. It doesn't matter if you work at Kohl's or if you work at Wawa, or, you know, I'm just pointing to businesses around the area. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter if you work at the high scraper, you know, building in center Philadelphia. Actually, those are areas where you can find some of the most toxic persons and toxic behavior. So it's so important that we take a good hard look at vocation really differently.
Yeah. We're not what we do. We are who we are. Remember that.
And vocation doesn't always mean that you're paid. Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't get paid for their vocation. You know, I haven't seen any housewives being cut checks, you know, for what they do. And they, you know, moms and dads raise us. They don't get paid for that job, you know, grandparents, when they're helping out with their grandkids or whatever, like they're not getting a check from the universe saying, thanks for all your hard work, you know? So we have so many more callings in life than the particular job we do to contribute to society.
I love that. And bring joy into your life. And I love by the way, the small acts of kindness too, because that is something I actually do try to do at least one every day, one random act of kindness, whether it is just letting someone in front of you in traffic, which I did today, and then you get the wave. Mm-hmm. And doesn't it make you feel better too? For some reason, you get that joy because you just made someone else's day that much better.
Absolutely. And I will say, I'll just end with this, but like I'm studying the brain, guys, and you know, since 2020, we've had a real sharp decline in mental health. We are all batshit crazy, okay? Like our brains are wired to react like a zebra and in circumstances that are completely inappropriate for it. So I honestly think at some point, like, you know, you can take out, you know, parts of your body that don't necessarily support it. Like at some point there might be that part of our brain that sends ridiculous signals. Like that might be taken out because it's just, you know, for me, it's more evidence that we were never like necessarily meant for this world. We were maybe, you know, meant for like the Garden of Eden and to live forever, not experience death or threat or any of that. So it's hard out there, but you know, I know this is such a woo-woo concept, but you have to also accept the light and the darkness in you. You know, you have to accept you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And if you're trying so hard not to, force yourself to make a mistake. That's what I make myself do.
I love that. And the cats agree, as you can hear them in the background. He's going nuts.
He's missing his sister, so we should probably attune to that.
Wrap this up. I told Gracie it'll be probably 10, 15 minutes, and we're almost at 50. So, Grace, where can people find you if they would like a more in-depth spiritual reading from you? And trust me, there's nobody better than her.
Aw, thank you. You can always find me at 12listen.com/Grace. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. On Instagram, I'm From Pain to Change. And on Facebook, I'm Advisor Grace Page. So I connect with people all the time. And I like to talk about spirituality and mental health and gosh, I wish I had time to talk more about this stuff. So thank you so much, because I love talking about stuff like this. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that today.
Oh, absolutely. I will happily have you back anytime. You know that. That's an open invite. Love having you on.
And one last thing, since this is one of my jobs, I just want to pray for everyone that listens to this message today. God, please bless them. Please lift them up. Please inspire them. And please allow them to have incredible amounts of fun and laughter in their lives. They deserve it. We know that you love us so much. And I just please, Lord, I ask that you bless them beyond belief.
I love that. So if you're listening today, which I know sometimes you do to support me, but I have a feeling today you're listening just so you could hear that message. You didn't realize it, but that's why you were listening today, to hear that message. So intake it and be joyous and spread joy. And hey, if you're looking for something to watch later, check out Psychic, A Gift of Grace, or The Witch of Hinsdale, which was produced by Miss Grace and myself. It's available on all major streaming platforms. But until then, this is Brian Hobson for the beautiful Miss Grace. We will see you very soon. And remember, you're not what you do. You are who you are.